Hi, thanks for coming to the talk today. We're going to be covering the SharePoint Frontend Protocols Overview document. My name is Yiroi Cho. I'm a lead program manager on the SharePoint Platform and Tools team, and I helped wrangle a lot of the folks and the content that went into this document. So, without further ado. Okay, so this is the agenda that we're going to cover today. We'll just do a brief introduction of what this document's about and what why we decided to author this sort of a document. From there, we're going to go and cover the basic architecture of SharePoint. We think that's probably one of the most valuable parts of understanding, how we organize the document. And then from there, dive into the individual protocols, both from the core platform perspective and from the extended capabilities perspectives. Finally, walking through the first example that's covered in the document itself. The front-end protocols overview document is an informative overview of the protocols that are exposed on the front end. It's important, it covers all the normative references that relate to all the individual protocols, but this document itself is considered informative. It covers communication between the front end web servers and client applications, as well as other server applications. It's kind of interesting to note, most of these protocols were written just for extensibility reasons, so in some cases there aren't actual implementations that either Office or SharePoint uses. So for example, most of the web pages in SharePoint, they won't call one of the web services, they're calling the server OM directly, we're running server code directly. And in some cases, if you wanted to write, say, a client application that replaces or otherwise augments experience in SharePoint, you can, and those you would be using these protocols at that point. So as I noted before, the document as well as this presentation are organized by the notion of core platform and extended capabilities. For people who are familiar with the actual SharePoint product offerings, the core platform maps roughly to Windows SharePoint Services or SharePoint Foundations, whereas the extended capabilities maps most directly to Microsoft Office SharePoint Server or Microsoft SharePoint Server, depending on which release you're on. Okay, so this is the first of a number of architecture diagrams that you're going to see. This just helps to illustrate the point that I'd mentioned that this is very much about client applications or other server applications communicating with SharePoint. So these other server applications are considered not part of the SharePoint farm, and the client application is just any old client, be it a web client, a rich client, just some other client talking to it. The areas that are part of the SharePoint farm are going to be things like the individual services that it runs, as well as the back-end databases that many of these services use. The SharePoint front-end protocols document does not cover any of these back-end protocols. There's another overview document, kind of the peer or the sister document to this one, called the SharePoint back-end protocols overview doc. And it covers all of that database communication. So, in general, the types of protocols we use are in the front end are more the web services, things like that, whereas in the back end it's more like Sprocs talking to SQL directly. SharePoint's and the actual front end web servers themselves are very hierarchically arranged, and they have a lot of container relationships. So SharePoint is really just a very complicated web application built on IIS and SQL. And so that's what we're seeing this diagram. So there are a couple of key web applications that we have. There's always one and only one central administration web application. This is the main administrative portion of how you go and create other site collections or how you otherwise associate other service web applications. The runtime web applications are, the typical end user experience side of SharePoint. So this is how the normal websites are served up, and those are further organized into site collections and individual sites. The service application web applications are running specific shared services as they were known in the previous release or in this release, service apps. And this is where a lot of the extended capabilities come in. So, for example, Search is a service application, and so that notion of indexing and all those capabilities are included there. However, the actual normal runtime web application then call into that service app to expose the functionality. Okay, so next is my probably my favorite diagram of the talk. It's also the most colorful diagram that you're going to see today. And so this picks up from that site collection level. If you're going to kind of really remember one key diagram or really pay attention to one part, you should pay attention to this one slide. All the protocols within SharePoint map very closely to one of these containers or to objects that live in these containers or some other capability around these. So recognizing that, site collections can then can site collections are the outermost boundary. They're typically used as some sort of a security boundary, as well as just sort of a scoping boundary. So within a site collection, there is a collection of sites. Sites is yet another security container boundary. Within sites, there are lists and libraries. This is kind of the core of how we store data from the end user perspective, so the logical storage of stuff. So you can say you have list items with extensible schema as well as storing documents. Within those lists and libraries, you can be further organize or segment by folders before finally getting the items themselves. So as I noted before, the majority of the protocols map very closely to one of these sorts of concepts or otherwise are mapping to capabilities acted upon this set of concepts or these containers. Okay, so before we go onto the protocols, the other thing is to think about, so how should we think about SharePoint, or why would I consider building an experience or otherwise interoperating with SharePoint? So at its core and its simplest, as you saw from the previous slide, SharePoint is very much about documents and list items as well as people. And then when we start to go and expand that set of capabilities to really include both core platform, extended platform, you get this pie diagram that our marketing materials as well, a lot of our materials show what SharePoint has. So there's the core sites that we talked about. There's a notion of communities. There's a lot of the collaboration capabilities within SharePoint fall into that space. There's the notion of content management. So how do we build sites to either high scale kind of internet facing sites as well as managing my own like documents and media within the company. There's search as a big capability. There's insights, which is a lot around business intelligence, Excel services, things like that fall into that case. And finally, there's composites, which is around authoring applications, custom applications. How do we build things together? It's important to note that the history of SharePoint is that it was built up over time. So, a lot of these capabilities may have either grew up from separate products, and then also as time went on, just interoperability standards have changed. So, for example, some of the earliest capabilities that we had around SharePoint, as far as just pages and things like that, they might be, or just site management, you'll see multiple protocols that allow you to interact with those objects. So they'll start from maybe some RPC call, eventually get to a SOAP, eventually to a SOAP-based protocol, and then finally, some of the more modern cases, we have more RESTful APIs as well as using Atom and RSS. Okay, so here's a list of the core platform protocols. As noted, these are nicely organized into those container hierarchies and the types of operations that you want to do on them. I'm not going to be covering the list and file operations ones in great detail because I think we'll have subsequent presentations on those and subsequent recordings as well on those topics. So the next three slides, we're just going to be covering each bullet point or each major section by section and talk about what that object's commonly used for and what some of the types of tasks that you might use those protocols for. So at the highest level is that site administration chunk. This is all about managing your sites and your site collections. As I noted from that slide previously, these are the highest level concepts. In some cases, sites have specific usages. So for example, there's the notion of a document workspace or a meetings workspace, and we have a special set of protocols that target those specific scenarios. But at its most generic, it's about creating new sites, changing the properties on them or otherwise managing them. The next category is around list data. List data and list items are the key unit of information that we store from a logical perspective, or in other words, that end users interact with. We have a lot of different protocols to access this data and as well as to access the concepts around it. So for example, lists will have the notion of views to actually see collections of items. It also has forms that allows you to edit items. And then lastly, there's the notion of schema, which is what fields are associated to items or what fields are associated to that list. So the list protocols that you see there allow you to access or otherwise modify that collection of information. We have two other categories that we list out here. One is around alerts. And so this is all about how do we, you can subscribe to listen to changes on a list and then get roll-ups on that information and also sync list data into Outlook. And so that's what some of those pieces are for. Okay, so the next one around follow operations, and I noted I'm not going to go deeply into this area just because there will be a different deep dive here, but this is how to do file access or how do we get files in and out of the SharePoint web servers and all of the related check-in, check-out, so on and so on. Okay, next is around security and identity. So this is both the authentication and the authorization perspective. So as I noted before, SharePoint is really big on list items and documents. It's also big on people. So we have to go and authenticate. So that's how we know a person is a person. And then from there, we need to authorize. And so understanding what a person has access to or what a security principal has access to. We support a pluggable authentication model. So that means that, this is using the ASP.NET way of things. And so you can go in and actually have an external authority validate or otherwise provide that identification or the authorization step. And, starting in the 2010 timeframe, we also support using SAML or Security Assertion Markup Language token using claims to validate your authentication or validate your identity. So within the authorization space, there's a couple of other constructs such as, the specific permissions within SharePoint that you have and allowing to create groups. So you could specify permissions on a group and then all the people within that group will inherit that set of permissions. So there's a couple of protocols that are there to help manage that set of concepts. Okay, the next category is around authoring integration. So these are specific scenarios or specific document types. So again, items and documents and people. So within the documents, there are specific categories such as a slide library or picture library. So we have a couple of protocols that lets you do specific things to a slide library like shredding up the document or otherwise creating slideshows, things of that sort. We also have a set of capabilities around file synchronization and co-authoring. In the 2010 timeframe, there's a new capability that some of the Office clients introduced that allows users to simultaneously author documents, really the same document at the same time. So there's a set of protocols that allows you to know when a document is being authored by other people as well as handle the synchronization between those different documents. You don't actually have to have an Office client or a person doing that authoring. You could also just have an application that's making changes or otherwise reading and writing that same file, and it will similarly respect the protocols work in either case. So, for example, if you wanted to run some sort of a timer job to go and eject or otherwise modify document content, you could have that run while a person is actually editing other portions of that document. Okay, so the next category is around extensibility. This is a rough bucket of a few different pieces. The first one is around just content import and export. So this is how all the end user contributed content, be it list items and pages, could be packaged up or backed up and then moved to another location and restored. We have a pretty rich set of capabilities around workflow. So the protocols also group approval. So the workflow in general allows you to run some level of business logic and automate business processes. And so the protocols that we have there allow you to go and specify what workflow you want and then associate that workflow to a specific item. So for example, I can say that when a document has changed, I'm going to perform some sort of action that's defined by the workflow. Last there's the web page and web part customizations. The web pages, SharePoint is essentially a website, so the web page is the main unit of UI that the end users see. Within that web page, there's a notion of web parts, which are similar to like portlets or widgets that you might hear in some other platforms. Each of these web parts allows an end user to do some level of configuration or customization, but it's about showing pieces of information from other places typically. So we have the web part pages web service is all about how do we go and add and remove these web parts, or how do we determine what are the web parts that are on the page, and so on. The last bucket before moving on to the extended capabilities is the client-side object model. This isn't so much, this category really spans across a number of the previous cases. And in the previous case, most of the APIs are a single web service or a collection of web services that go and interact with a specific object type. So for example, there is a lists web service, there is a sites web service. The client-side object model, on the other hand, is both a JavaScript and a managed API that allows you to access many of the same objects, be it lists, sites, site collections, so on. The main difference between the two, and potentially why you would use one versus the other, is that client-side object model is much more suited to do batch requests or also requests across types. So for example, if I wanted to go and create a site, add a list, and do some other operation that spans a few different object types, or in some other cases do a bunch of requests that would potentially require a number of web services, I can do that all in one request of the CSOM or using the CSOM model. So the extended capabilities are typically modeled as service applications, and this is the big full list that you're seeing here. As I noted previously, there's that notion of kind of the generic and the specialization. So, SharePoint itself is good at generically storing and interacting with documents, and then there are specific types of documents that you have, and the top three really represent that set of capabilities. So, if there are a couple of specific document types, how do we go and handle those better? The remaining ones map very closely to that generic pie slide that I showed earlier as well. So that first slide is three specific document types. The first one is Excel and Excel services. So this provides capabilities that lets you publish workbooks to the server. It also allows you programmatic access to that server, the workbook content, and also has capabilities around accessing data as well as doing calculation. I think the things to note here are that you don't actually need Excel per se to use it. It's more that if you are following the Office Open XML document format and following that spec for spreadsheets, you can go and use your own spreadsheet authoring application to create that document and then put that up on the server and have access to these sorts of or make use of these protocols to complete similar types of scenarios. Next is around access services. So in this case, similar to before, there is a file format called an ACDT, which would define what a database application is. And then from there, and kind of with that, Axel is another one that helps define what that database application is. You can then go and use that to publish it up to a SharePoint server, and from there have programmatic access to that database application content. The last category on this slide is the InfoPath Form Services case. Like the other two, they're pretty self-explanatory in that in this case it's about forms. The other two were about workbooks or spreadsheets and databases. So this one's about publishing a form to a server, and from there you're able to go and fill out that form from the web browser. So as long as that form conforms to a specific format, you're able to go and use these protocols against it. Okay. So this slide around the user profile services, this is extending that concept or otherwise specializing the concepts around people, maps of the pie around communities. And so during the we've got actually in both the 2007 and the 2010 releases, there's a bunch of work around supporting social network types of scenarios. So, you know, what's the graph of people that you have? What are the colleagues that you have? What's your actual profile data? You know, what sorts of memberships do you have? So having a set of things to access and edit that set of information, we have all those protocols and web services. There's also the ability to that we added in the 2010 release to do things like tagging or take notes on just about any object, as well as doing ratings. So we do have a set of protocols that help you interact with that data. And finally, there's this notion of an activity feed. So this is pretty similar to what, what are the sets of operations that you're using or you as a user are doing in SharePoint, so be it joining a group or adding someone as a colleague. This in concept is pretty similar to, you know, kind of what you might see in a Facebook externally for the more of the consumer space, but in an enterprise concept, or, you know, some of the tagging and status stuff might be similar to things that you might see in, like, you know, Twitter as well, that sort of communication case. Next is the vertical for search. So, you know, search is about making queries and getting results. So that's what that first protocol allows you to do is, specify search criteria and then get the search results based off of that. And from there, you know, if you can go and build your own client to actually display that set of search results. We also let you create special indices within the search service, and we have a couple of protocols for that too. Okay. The next category for business connectivity services maps most directly to the composites case. So the business connectivity services as a capability, that's its name in the 2010 release, which was known as the Business Data Catalog in the 2007 release. It provides a mechanism to model and access external data sources. So, for example, if you wanted to integrate SAP data, that's one of the common usages, or other database, like a SQL database, where you have the ability to model that and then upload that model to the business connectivity services metadata catalog, and from there access it with a standard API. And that might sound a little bit abstract, but you can think of it as, you know, a lot of these line of business systems have fairly complicated API layers, or very specific API layers. And whereas the business connectivity service, what it allows you to do is to create a mapping from what that, you know, that more complicated API surface is into generic, or what we call sometimes called stereotype methods, like, you know, get items, get item, you know, create update, those sorts of capabilities. And so once you've created that model, you can go in and upload that model to the metadata store, and from there, not only do you have the ability to know what sorts of sources you're connected to, but as well as actually get programmatic access to that data itself. The next category here is the content management cases. So as noted before, these are mostly about, if I'm creating some sort of a high-scale internet-facing site. So for example, let's say a thing like Xbox.com, or these are cases in which you have sites that have a set of templates that are pretty similar. So, you know, each game page will have a picture of the game, maybe three screenshots of the in-game, and it'll have a blurb and maybe a little bit of a review. So these sorts of consistent page templates. And a lot of how these sorts of sites get created is there's a clear and well-defined publishing model for these sorts of sites. And so there's a set of protocols that help manage and work through these. There's also a set of protocol that allows to do better handling of documents, versioning, be it in the case of a publishing scenario or just a generic document. Both are important. There's a document lifecycle capability for making sure that some of the documents are official records. Okay. And then the last area is there in the 2010 timeframe, we also added some capabilities around creating a metadata or a taxonomy for content. So you're able to actually specify kind of the industry or company set of standards for how you want content to be organized or otherwise tagged. And then there's two APIs that help create and manage that sort of metadata. So we're hitting the home stretch at this point, and the first category is around performance point services. This falls into the insights category. Performance point services allows you to create dashboards on the server. On the dashboards, you can show various things like charts or key performance indicators or other graphs, things like that. Once you're viewing one of those dashboards, you also have the ability to actually drill down into values. So for example, I can kind of click on a value in a chart and go and see what sorts of what that value is actually made from or what contributed to that particular value. And so that's what that set of protocols is there for. The analytics services is all about, understanding what's happening currently in, on my SharePoint deployment. So you're able to go and specify data that you want to track, such as, hey, what are the most commonly used search criteria for any given time span? And, once you start tracking that, you can then go and actually get that and get reports that are based off of that information. So it's both sides of not only specifying what you want to track, but also getting the actual reports out themselves. The very last protocol that we're going to cover today is about the Office Online Web Query Service. This is not something that SharePoint actually implements, rather it's a protocol that SharePoint calls. So we store a set of, so Office Online has the capability of storing solutions and templates, things of that sort, and it has a set of metadata around that. So this is about, we use this to store, to retrieve that metadata and create a experience over it. Okay. And so this is one of the examples that's covered within the documents, the first example there. And it just shows, it walks through a pretty basic case in which we want to go and say create a new site, create some new lists in there, and then actually access the data on the list. And so as I noted before, in this case we're using more of the web services for it. You'll see that we actually top and use methods that are on a number of the different web services. So for example, for each one of these web services, there's actually a typical pattern when you're doing creation, in that there are templates and that you can look at, and then from there you can pick a template to use to actually create that object. So that sort of pattern of what are the templates that are available and then create an item based on that template is a pretty common pattern. There's some other kind of common patterns, like, get a collection of items and then go and add something to that collection is another common pattern that we see with protocols. So in this first case, that first protocol that we call is get the site templates. So that's what are all the types of sites I can create. And from there, I go and call create web and with whatever template type I want to use. So for example, if I want to create a team site versus a meetings workspace, that's the type of information I'm seeing there. Once I've gone and created that web and gotten a successful response that the web's been created, I can go and create a list. And so as before, you have to first ask it, or you don't have to, but you often will want to ask it for what are the sets of list templates that are available. And then from there, once you've gotten the response, you can say add that list to a specific list collection. So, and then after that point, you have In this example, what we're doing is we're actually updating list items. So you can specify a set of changes to list items. You can actually do this in a batch of changes together. And so here, let's say you could say add three items or otherwise update the values of three items to do that. And then once you've gotten that, finally you can go and then query it. And so that's what the last bit is, the get list items access. Some of the other things that you might want to do in these sorts of cases is you could say, create new views by calling the views web service, or otherwise maybe modify the forms that you have to point to other pages, those sorts of examples as well. In general, most of these examples are that, SharePoint will have some baseline user experience or baseline experience for modifying or otherwise authoring much of the objects in SharePoint. And so a common case might be if you want to create a better authoring tool, or you want to create a more streamlined experience, or otherwise, if you know that you have to do a string of activities together, you can create a better experience for that. And then, the other side of the interop would just be, a lot of the data reading, getting data access in and out of SharePoint. So, okay. Well, that covers all the main points that we wanted to go through today.